Welcome back to Through the Word. Pastor Jonathan here, and James chapter 3 today. We've all heard it, and we've all said it, but have you ever really meant it? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Really, is there any other saying out there so full of lies? Words will never hurt me? I'm 39 years old, and I still remember things that were said to me when I was 9. Words hurt, but we pretend that they don't. We act like everything's okay, but like putting a Band-Aid on a dirty wound, disease can fester deep inside. But words can also build up. A small word of encouragement or a compliment can lift a person's soul in a way that few other things can. Here in chapter 3, James reveals that our tongue is a test of our maturity. Are we going to prove our maturity with controlled speech, or will we prove our immaturity with stupid words? James starts the chapter with a warning for those who might be considering becoming a pastor. Verse 1. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. So those who teach will be judged more severely than others. And believe me, this is a scary verse. If I'm to teach a passage, let's just say, I don't know, James chapter 3, and teach that controlled speech is a sign of maturity, but then speak with a loose tongue, I'm in danger of judgment. Not only am I failing to obey the command of God, but I'm a hypocrite as well. James summarizes the chapter in verse 2. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. Now, James then proves that he is one of the greatest teachers ever with his series of object lessons. As you read, imagine Pastor James pulling out 6 objects to make his point about the power of the tongue. The first 2 object lessons show us the tongue's power to direct. James brings out a horse's bit and a ship's rudder. Verse 3. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants it to go. A bit is a small metal bar placed in the mouth of a horse to help steer the animal. Try to control a 1,200-pound thoroughbred racehorse without the bit, and you're going to have a problem. Put a 1-pound bit in that same horse's mouth, and you can direct the horse where you want it to go. The same goes for the rudder of a ship. It's a small part of the ship, but without it, you ain't going anywhere. The tongue works the same way. It's a small part of our body, but it can steer a life, your own or others. A loose word, a lie, or a sarcastic joke can hurt and change the course of a person's life. But the right word, spoken at the right time, can guide a person into salvation. The interesting part of these illustrations, both the bit and the rudder, they both require someone else to control them. So the question is, who controls your tongue, the spirit or the flesh? James then brings in a fire and a wild animal to show us the tongue's power to destroy. Verse 5. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Now, how much does a match weigh? You kind of have to go out and get one of those fancy scales from the chem lab to weigh it, right? But think of the damage that can happen if you ignore Smokey the Bear and play with matches in the forest. We know that words can hurt, but if we truly understood the destructive nature of our words, well, we might just shut up a little more. Verse 7. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. I used to live in Kenya, and I'd get cobras in my yard from time to time. Now, what did I do when a cobra was near the house? I killed it. I'm not going to let that deadly beast harm my family. And really, that's what we need to do with our tongue. Sometimes, we just need to kill it. On to verse 9. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing, my brothers. This should not be. Now, have you ever heard the saying, you kiss your mother with that mouth? We know how dirty our mouths can be. How much more important than a kiss is praising God? The highest thing we can do with our lives is to give glory to God. But how can we bless God in our songs and prayer and then turn around and curse those made in His image? To quote those mighty prophets of my generation, the OC Supertones, righteous and sinful, both at the same time, iniquity and purity, fill up the same mind, and out of the same mouth, the holy and profane, I curse all my brothers, then I bless Christ's name. Listen, a spring is either fresh or polluted. A fruit tree either has apples or oranges. You can't have it both ways. But you might say, I'm better than I was. I've stopped saying the really bad things. Okay, well then think about this. Pour yourself a cup of arsenic. Anyone interested in drinking it? No way. Now, take a clean glass of water, but pour in 2 teaspoons of arsenic. Any takers now? Probably not. Why? Because it still has deadly poison in it. And in the same way, we should have nothing polluting coming out of our mouth if we are also using it to praise God. So the tongue is powerful. It has the power to direct, and it has the power to destroy. And it also has the power to deliver wisdom. But where does that wisdom come from? James rounds out this chapter by talking about 2 sources of wisdom. And we need to make sure that we're careful which wisdom we're listening to. The tongue can be filled with the wisdom from above, or the false wisdom that comes from below. Verse 14, who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambitions in your heart, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil practice. If when I speak I have bitterness and envy in my heart, it will come out in my speech. It doesn't even matter how spiritual my teachings will be. If I don't have the Spirit controlling my tongue, false wisdom from the pit of hell is going to spill out. And a lot of people can talk the talk, speaking truth theologically while being full of wickedness in their hearts. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. This wisdom is worldly, fleshly, demonic, but there is a second source of wisdom, the wisdom that comes from above. Verse 17, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Now, no one needs to advertise if they have true wisdom. It will be clearly seen in that person's life and attitude. As opposed to the proud and arrogant, the truly wise will be peaceful, merciful, and sincere. Listen to a person's words and tone. You will know if they're filled with wisdom from above or from below. When the flesh controls the tongue, the words that come out are without self-control. Proverbs says, a fool vents all his feelings. But when the Spirit controls the tongue, the words that flow out will be patient, reasonable, and full of beauty. James chapter 3, a how-to guide for controlling the tongue.
Thanks for joining us for today's audio guide. You can find this chapter and hundreds more on the Through the Word app and website. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.